What is most piddling little families with only 5 or 6 children do with themselves?
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
You've given me a massive headache. Teach
your children well. It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart is brought to you by Matt's Cookies, the Doctors of NeuroHealth, and Christina Steele Dermatology. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
At a recent gathering of my large family, I have five. Well, I'm the youngest of five, so I have 4 siblings and tons of nieces and nephews. So when we're together, it's like 20, 25 people, whatever it is. And so at a recent gathering, you know, one of my brothers called out at the top of his voice, "What kind of ice cream is it?" And of course, this led to laughter from all of us, including from my good-natured dad. Why? Well, because you see, years ago, and I do mean years ago, when I was about 5, my family, okay, they just finished eating dinner. And, you know, we'll never forget this. My mom announced it was ice cream for dessert. So one of my brothers made the mistake of asking, "What flavor is it?" That led to exclamations of outrage from my dad. Why? Because when he was a kid during the Great Depression, they were lucky to get ice cream at all. Darn it. It was the biggest treat imaginable. In fact, most of the time, the only way to get it was to make it themselves, and no one, especially not a child, would have even dreamed of asking what flavor the ice cream was. And on it went. I'm not sure I'm going to think of it if any one of us ever did get some ice cream that night. But I do know that we learned a lot about the history of ice cream, at least in our dad's life. We also learned, if I remember correctly, that my parents kind of thought we kids were ungrateful. Imagine that. Now, flash forward, and things have changed, and not for the better. For starters, today's parents, get this, spend 5 times as much on our kids' stuff on average as our parents did. 5 times. And by the way, that's in real dollars. But would anyone suggest that today's children are more grateful in general than when we adults were kids? I don't think so. Wouldn't suggest that about my own children, that's for sure. You know what? It seems there is a theory in psychology. It's called the hedonic treadmill. I love this. And that explains, you know, why the acquisition of more stuff does not in and of itself lead to happiness. Supposedly, the theory says, it's like this. When we get more stuff, our expectations for more stuff rise in tandem. So while we can be satisfied in the short term by a thing, over the long term, acquiring more things will never make us happy because we'll just want more, well, you know, things. I.e. exactly how we Americans got into our current economic mess. More on the hedonic treadmill in a minute. Friends, welcome to It Takes a Parent. It's a new year. Happy new year to you. Happy 2009. Hope it's not too late to say that. Do you remember the Seinfeld series? George popped in one day about 2 weeks into the new year and he, you know, says to Jerry, I just got happy new year. That's an outrage. It's too late for that. Well, I don't think it's too late to wish you all a very happy new year and another big year is ahead for It Takes a Parent. Lots going on in the weeks ahead. We're going to have some terrific shows with Dr. Paul Randolph, who's a wonderful family therapist, talking about the issues that he's seeing more and more of today. We're going to be talking with Michael Ferris, the head of parentalrights.org, talking about now that Washington is dominated by Democrats, watch out for the International Treaty on the Child, because that could take some very real rights away from very real American parents. So we've got all of that in the weeks ahead. Hope you'll keep coming back week after week at noon. Today, I just had so much stuff because we've been off here on It Takes a Parent for a couple of weeks. And I just have so much stuff I've come across and wanted to talk about. I thought, you know what? I'm going to make the whole show one big heartbeat segment today. Lots of interesting things about, you know, dad getting thrown into jail for threatening an umpire and Gardasil now is out there for boys as young as 9. That's the HPV vaccine, the human papillomavirus vaccine, which is a sexually transmitted disease. We'll talk about that. Lots of stuff going on that I've been kind of picking at the papers in the last couple of weeks. I'm so glad to be back. I thought, let's get to all of that kind of stuff on It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. We're glad you're here. Hope you'll enjoy being with us in the new year. But right now, before we get to all that kind of good stuff, back to more just capping this bottomless pit of stuff and wanting ever more stuff, because that's certainly what I'm dealing with in my house. Now, I sometimes wonder, you know, and I made this comparison in a column recently. I wonder if maybe we're like, except I can never say this name right, but I think it's a Rixton or something. I don't remember. I have no idea how to pronounce it, but I do remember learning in Greek mythology. Remember my grandmother gave me this fabulous book on Greek mythology and all the great stories. And I remember this one because it really struck me, because at the time I was such a food lover. And apparently what happened is, you know, the goddess Demeter supposedly, you know, this is all mythology. I actually like the Greek and Roman mythology. But anyway, so I guess this king basically chopped down Demeter's space, so to speak, a bunch of trees, and was going to put up a big feasting hall there. The goddess Demeter had a fit, and so she put a curse on this guy whose name I can't pronounce, Aristaton, and made it. Do you remember this? Hearing about this in school? She made it so that no matter what he ate, all that happened is he just got hungrier. He could never be satisfied. And eventually he ended up devouring his own flesh. And I kind of think that's a little bit like what goes on in my house sometimes. But I, at the same time, I confess, I myself, you know what? I like stuff. I do. In fact, you know, my sibs do recount that as a child, I would often go on a quote unquote campaign. That's what they called it. For whatever it was I wanted. And that way, well, too often in their minds, my dear mother would give in. You know, and I actually sort of have to wonder, is this even a maybe just a girl thing? We just want stuff and don't get satisfied. Actually, a fellow I once knew years ago, he said that a man, whether it's stuff or love or whatever it is, relationship, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, a man can never truly satisfy a woman. He can only distract her for a short time. And he just said that was his goal, was to distract his wife for as long as possible before she jumped on to the next thing. Anyway, okay, I've written in recent columns that how, you know, with this completely crazy economy, I personally am determined to be far more careful about that treadmill. But this new year, I'm determined not just to stay off of it, but to actually start to be grateful and to teach my kids about being grateful for what we do have, to cherish experiences and time and laughter over stuff. And I got to tell you, one mechanism I've enjoyed for a while now that I think kind of helps my kids simply appreciate a little more what we have is asking my kids to do more chores around the house and paying them. I pay them a fairly generous allowance, I think, by standards of their peers. But you know what? Then more and more, they, as they get older, get responsible for things like their own, paying for their own movie tickets, the latest book that they want, if they want a video game, which I try to keep to a limit anyway. And as they get older, clothes and other necessities. And I'll tell you, my 12-year-old daughter is great at this. She saves her money. She shops the sales. And then she waits. She does not have a ton of clothes that she doesn't wear. She has a few things, all of which she's carefully purchased. She really likes. And, you know, look great on her and all that kind of stuff. But she waits until she finds something that is just right and is really going to be pleasing to her. So there's a lot of delayed gratification going on there, too, and all that kind of stuff. And hopefully that's keeping her off of the hedonic treadmill a little bit, at least. So I think I have a lot to learn from her. But here, you know what, friends, here's my goal this year. I want to be, and I want my kids to be, people who can always be pleased. Well, frankly, buy a simple bowl of ice cream, whatever the flavor, because you know what? That is good stuff. And I want that to be my goal for the year ahead. So hope you'll join me in that here on It Takes a Parent. Hey, you know what? I also noticed just a few days ago, and this is according to a news story in the Wall Street Journal, that guess what? Gardasil. Now, this is really outrageous. This is just outrageous. Now, Gardasil is soon to be approved, most likely, for males. So Merck and Company asked federal regulators to approve the use of its Gardasil human papilloma vaccine by boys and young men as young as 9 years old. And if you remember the controversy when this came out, supposedly for girls as young as 9 years old, brand new vaccine, by the way, hasn't been tested, hasn't been around for a long time, don't know a whole lot about it, but parents are actually giving this to their daughters. The human papilloma virus is the cause of cervical cancer, and this vaccine protects against one of the strains of HPV, not against all of them. It is not a cervical cancer vaccine. It only protects against one strain of the human papilloma virus or genital warts, which then can sometimes turn into cancer. So the idea is you get these girls, you know, as young as 14 or, well, actually 8 or 9, but certainly in their early teens, vaccinated at a cost, by the way, of about $350 for the series, sometimes as high as $500, often not covered by insurance, of course. It's making Merck company billions of dollars. And you get them vaccinated, and then this is one less thing they have to worry about when they're out having unprotected sex. Now, there are about 10 million problems with this. Not least of all is it's an untested vaccine. It might only last about 5 years. You think you're protected, but then when you're 20 or 25 and you get married, or before you get married or whatever, you find out too late that, oh, no, it only protected for 5 years. Lost that protection, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Lots of problems. Maybe young girls thinking, oh, I've had an anti-sex shot. I'm safe now. I mean, these kids are ignorant. They don't know. Even if you slip the shot to them secretly, I mean, what's the point of that? So on it goes. And I'm going to get into the next segment when I come back and tell you the really big problem with the Gardasil vaccine. And it is not even anything to do with the moral issues. Put those aside. As outrageous as that is, the idea that I'm going to assume that my girls are going to be sexually active and that I think in giving them this vaccine, I could actually be putting them more at risk because they might actually believe mistakenly they have safety that they don't have. And now we're giving it to boys. All the same things are going to be going on with them, that the boys now are going to be thinking, great, I can go out and have unprotected sex because they don't get it and they're ignorant. All kinds of moral issues aside. But the big one I'm going to tell you about after the break. Stay with us. You're listening to It Takes a Parent, AIM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart saying come right back.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160 WYLL.
Hi, friends. Betsy Hart here with a great suggestion for a special Christmastime activity you can do with your kids. Have you ever wondered about the biblical account of the Magi? Who were these wise men, and what was that star they saw in the east which led them to Jesus' home? Is there any evidence that such a natural phenomena may have existed in the sky around the time of Christ's birth or early childhood? Well, the answer is yes. In its Star of Wonder show, the Adler Planetarium in Chicago walks through in one of its spectacular sky shows what was happening in the skies around the time of Christ's birth. It's all from a scientific, secular, and historical perspective. But guess what? The Magi's star in the east actually fits some very unusual events happening in the skies at the time. The show tells you all about it, and it plays through January 4th. Admission includes your visit to the other exhibits in the historic Adler Planetarium. Find out more at adlerplanetarium.org. That's adlerplanetarium.org. Or visit me at betsysblog.com. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's Cookies continues to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf and just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the home-style store-bought cookies.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, how the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it. Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host Betsy Hart can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. That's 847-472-8942. 42.
I'm doing pretty well for myself. Regional VP, making good money.
But it's not enough, is it?
Well, no.
We want something more, don't we?
Like what?
You know, what job we can be passionate about.
But how?
Have we checked out ChristianJobs.com?
Was I supposed to?
Of course. Go there. We want a career we can get excited about.
Well, my current job is pretty good.
Are we really going to settle for pretty good?
Well...
Don't you want to get up in the morning and feel like we're doing exactly what we're called to do?
You keep interrupting.
You keep talking to yourself.
Find a job you really care about. ChristianJobs.com.
Start your day with Renewing Your Mind and R.C. Sproul, weekday mornings at 9 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
I'm thrilled to have a radio station that plays the things I like to listen to that are uplifting.
AM 1160 WILL.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart, outraged over the plan by Merck to seek permission to market its Gardasil vaccine for the human papillomavirus virus to boys. And as I was talking about in the last segment, it does not protect against cervical cancer. The vaccine protects against one strain, and there are many of the human papillomavirus virus, but one common strain that that almost never causes cervical cancer, but in about very small, you know, few percentage of the time, it does lead to cervical cancer. 95% of the time, if a woman gets a human papillomavirus, it clears up on its own. Her body, just like any virus, her body just responds to it and clears it up on its own. Then about 5% of the time, it causes more problems, sometimes cervical cancer. But here's now I'm getting to what I think is the most outrageous problem with this. It's a cost benefit analysis. And, you know, when this came out, all these feminists came out and said, oh, this is so fantastic. We've got this great thing that's going to protect girls from this. But wait a minute. Let's please think about it. First of all, the HPV, human papillomavirus, almost always clears up on its own, right? 95% of the time clears up on its own. So then you've got a few times when it causes problems, not always cervical cancer, but some problems. Now, it is true cervical cancer does occur still at fairly low rates. And one of the reasons is because the pap smear, very cheap test, can detect it. And in the early stages, it is very, very curable. So a couple of thousand women die every year in the United States because of cervical cancer. The vast majority of the time, they did not get regular pap smears. So how about putting this several billions of dollars that people are spending on this HPV vaccine into encouraging screening? Because if you screen it, it is almost always going to be curable. And we've got billions of dollars here that are going into this vaccine. It costs $160 to get a doctor visit and a pap smear if you're sexually active. It costs $350 to get this vaccine. And if you just do the math, and yes, one is a one-time thing, one is over a lifetime, but if you just do the math on how much this vaccine costs, when you multiply it to the millions of people that Merck wants to have get it, it is literally at a cost of billions of dollars. How much better to put that money into not just better cervical screening, you know, that's a great start, but also, so better cervical screening, but mainly into all kind, you could put it into all kinds of health benefits for women. You could put it into better information about, for instance, about obesity, about nutrition, about a million different things. This is, that would actually save lives. The billions being poured into this vaccine will not save lives, and in fact, it might actually put more girls and boys at risk because they think suddenly they can have sex so safely. When guess what? This doesn't protect against the biggest risk of sex, which is emotional devastation when you're young and unmarried. So the whole thing I just think is an outrage. And instead of feminists cheering this in any other instance, if it were something to do with women that were putting women's lives at risk and it was a drug company involved making billions, believe me, they'd be on the other side of it. So moms and dads, don't fall for this. Get educated before you decide whether or not to get your child, your very young child, as young as 9 years old, this vaccine. On to other things. You know, I decided I want a gap year That's my conclusion after reading New High School Elective Put Off College by someone named Toddie Guttner in the Wall Street Journal recently. And Guttner reports that many highly motivated high school students who are accepted into top colleges, they're delaying the start of their high school education in exchange for a year to, quote, gain life experience and focus their goals. Now, these kids are not slackers, okay? They're using that year for concentrated, varied experience. Guttner follows one woman who's taken a year off after high school to work on an internship in Boston before going to China to live and study the language, and she'll start at Harvard in the fall. So, you know, now they're even gap consultants. Now, this is different than what I remember. A group of my good friends took their gap year in college by remaining for an extra semester or two after the traditional years were up. I really, really wanted to follow suit, but it didn't sound like such a good idea once my parents told me I'd have to pay for it. So I graduated instead. Actually, I don't even think I got a gap summer. I don't even think I got a gap 10 days. Mom and Dad pushed me to start work right away. A little over a week after I graduated from the University of Illinois, I moved to Washington, D.C. and started a full-time job there. Now, friends, I got to tell you, that was a shocker. I guess it takes a parent to kind of push you out of your house, your kid out of your house, and get you working. Maybe more parents should do that today. But anyway, now more than ever, I decided, you know what? I want to collect on that gap year. You know, I might have just goofed around with it when I was back in my younger days, but now a year off from kids and career and responsibility, are you kidding me? 12 months to gain life experience and focus my goals, I could change the world, or at least my world. You know what? For starters, I think I'd have a really organized house. And without foreshort off and like cranky people constantly rearranging things like a puzzle around here, you know, stuff would stay where I'd put it. I could read all the great books sitting on my bed table. And of course, I'm not really sure if I would learn to cook really good grown-up food that would actually be fun to eat, or if I would finally fulfill my fantasy of kind of like ending the whole food presentation and production thing. I mean, frankly, I could live on a little bit of cheese and crackers and salad, coffee, a little red wine, but somehow that menu doesn't do it for the kids. But you know what? And I would actually go skiing, and I would get to ski like I want to. But you know what? And I've actually wondered, you know what, during a gap year, could I like meet a guy, get married, and then tell him, oh, yeah, I have four kids, and they get home tomorrow? I don't know. I guess that would be a little unethical. But anyway, when I was in college, I dream now about what might be called a gap year or gap semester. I dream that I'm back in college and having a great time while my kids are being well cared for somewhere else, but it's not clear where. Anyway, all right, back to reality. Far from having a gap year, I think I'm having the constrained years. But you know what? I know that someday, I know it, the kids are going to be grown. I'm going to finally get that gap year. Probably too many of them. My guess is, you know what? I might not want it so much then. My house, I have a feeling, and those who know me will say, would never be as organized as I think it will be. I won't get around to all that reading. And you know what? I have a feeling I'll be out in the hill and I'll kind of wish I had some little people with me on little skis saying, Mom, wait! I don't know. Maybe I wonder if all the constrained years are causing me to gain life experience and focus my goals in a pretty cool way that maybe would be pretty impossible to achieve in the lifetime of a gap year. But you know what? I don't know. I still think just maybe like a gap week would be really cool. I could probably get a lot of closets cleaned out at least. But I was thinking about the gap year when I heard this great little piece from Anita Renfro. You know, she's a Christian comedian. She's really hilarious. And in fact, I've talked about coming on the show, and hopefully we'll have her on early this year. And she had a great piece on YouTube called The Mom Song. And I think this kind of encapsulates why we might want a gap year every so often. Listen in.
Get up now, get up now, get up out of bed. Wash face, brush teeth, comb, sleep, be hit. Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework? Get your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take vitamins so you won't grow up one day too big and tall. Please remember the orthodontist will be seeing you at 3 too big. Don't forget your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play. Don't shovel too slowly, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here. Didn't you wash behind your ears? Plants lie doubly rough, would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Working out each term, never take a dip. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, wash clothes, put your stuff away. Make your bed, do it now, do we have all day? Were you born in a barn, would you like some hay? Can you eat? Can you hear a word I say? juniper, pearl, sage, tree, street, eat the food. I put upon your plate, get an A, get the door, don't go smart with me. Get a grip, get in here, I'll count to three. Get a job, get a life, get a PhD, get a dog.
So you can find it on YouTube. And I think that's why a lot of us could use at least a gap week or two. Anyway, you're listening to It Takes a Parent, AIM 1160 WYLL. Come right back with us. We've got more, including why men don't write advice columns and some really outrageous behavior by some local parents. A couple different parenting horror stories, I'll call them. So be sure to come right back. You're listening to It Takes a Parent.
When you know God's truth, it sets you free. Join me for Telling the Truth weekdays at 10 a.m. here on AM 1160 WYLL.
AM 1160 WYLL.
Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's Cookies continues to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf and just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the home-style store-bought cookies. Hi, friends. Betsy Hart here with a great suggestion for a special Christmastime activity you can do with your kids. Have you ever wondered about the biblical account of the Magi? Who were these wise men, and what was that star they saw in the east which led them to Jesus' home? Is there any evidence that such a natural phenomena may have existed in the sky around the time of Christ's birth or early childhood? Well, the answer is yes. In its Star of Wonder show, the Adler Planetarium in Chicago walks through in one of its spectacular sky shows what was happening in the skies around the time of Christ's birth. It's all from a scientific, secular, and historical perspective. But guess what? The Magi's star in the east actually fits some very unusual events happening in the skies at the time. The show tells you all about it, and it plays through January 4th. Admission includes your visit to the other exhibits in the historic Adler Planetarium. Find out more at adlerplanetarium.org. That's adlerplanetarium.org. Or visit me at betsysblog.com.
Pastor Scott Wallace invites you to tune in Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. for their new program, Words to Live By, hosted by Pastor Wallace. Pastor Wallace offers listeners encouraging and comforting words of hope, faith, healing, and love. All Nations Worship Center is located 2 miles west of Route 59 on the corner of Route 58 Golf Road and Hunter Drive. Pastor Wallace personally invites you to attend service this Sunday at 10 a.m. For more information, call 847-468-8139 or visit anwc.cc.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160 WYLL.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart. So glad you're back with us. First show of the new year. Lots to talk about. And that's why this week I'm just had been over the last couple of weeks when we were off on the show collecting all whole kinds of stuff, all kinds of stuff to talk about. Things kept coming across my trans and people sending me things. So we're just doing a whole show of heartbeat fun stuff today. And I saw this, actually in the Chicago Sun-Times, Ask Ellie, right? And I always love reading the Ask. I love reading advice columns because so often I disagree with the advice giver. This time I pretty much agreed with her. But anyway, so somebody writes in Ask Ellie. And this is just, you know, I just think, wow, sometimes it just takes a parent to tell other people to grow up. So here we go. Dear Ellie, my girlfriend wants only one gift for Valentine's Day, a ring. We've been together for, hold on to your hats, friends, 7 years. Living together for two. Okay, there you go. Living together for two. It's the second time around for both. And despite some issues, it's a solid relationship. In other words, I guess they've each been married before. They're a little bit older. We both have grown children. Okay, so they're definitely at least middle age. Why can't we just enjoy life and not hassle with the church, the prenups, asset rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So Ellie actually, you know, writes back. Now, this is a letter she wrote to him. I'd like to tell you what I'd write to her. Anyway, so Ellie writes to Holding Off. There are two people in this relationship, and her needs must carry as much weight as yours. She wants a fuller, more defined commitment. This isn't only a romantic dream. It can avoid more serious hassles. A legal marriage and clear prenup let everyone know what to expect when one spouse predeceases the other or they split. You can make arrangements regarding your adult children's legacy and your spouse's rights rather than leave it to chance. Actually, you could do all that without getting married. By holding back, you cause her to question her equality in this relationship. If that's your idea, she'll catch on soon enough. No, actually, apparently she won't catch on soon enough because this idiot has been living with this guy for 2 years and they've been together for seven. Now, you know, this is what she writes to this guy. I'd like to see the letter she'd write to the woman. Here's what I'd write to the woman. You know, how dumb can you be? You are living with this man. You're giving him everything he wants, presumably a regular sexual relationship, no requirements for commitment. Of course he's not going to marry you. Listen, we read this again. We both have grown children. Why can't we just, quote, enjoy life and not hassle with the church, the prenups, asset rights, etc.? Because he's an immature jerk and he wants to take all of that she has to give him, including the sexual relationship, which apparently nobody holds back on these days anymore. Not if you're middle aged, to the extent anybody believes in those rules are just for kids. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, there's a reason God says do not be involved in the physical relationship outside of marriage. And one of the there's a million reasons for that. And one of the biggest ones is it protects women from idiots like this guy and from being stupid themselves and from giving away their hearts and their bodies and getting nothing in return. This woman wants a commitment and yet she's living with the guy. Come on. What she should do is say, adios, baby. See ya later. And if she's not going to say that, then all she's going to have for the rest of her life is this guy who's going to live with her until it doesn't feel like living with her anymore. Wake up. I've run across so many women who just, you know, my age, middle-aged women, younger women, older. And the idea of having a relationship without being sexually active is inconceivable to them. Not even necessarily because they feel comfortable doing it, because they feel they have to do it to get a man. Once again, the feminist revolution sold women everywhere a bill of goods. And the men are sitting there smiling ear to ear because they didn't have to grow up. They don't have to have a commitment in order to have a wife and a regular physical relationship and children or even to be considered respected in the community. They can just live like adolescents and get it all and make no commitment in return. And here's this middle-aged man getting the whole, you know, everything he wants. He's got a live-in girlfriend. He's got a regular physical relationship. And nothing is being required of him in return. He is not being asked to grow up. He is living an extended adolescence. And our culture lets him do it. The feminist revolution made it possible. And this is just idiotic. So I don't know about holding off, you know, to this fellow. But I would say to holding off's girlfriend, get a life, get your lock changed, or walk out. But whatever you do, don't look back. He's not worth it. Move on to something better. And next time, don't give it away without a ring. Oh, I'll tell you, I just love advice columns. They always make me crazy. Have you ever noticed that men do not write advice columns? Is there any advice column anywhere written by a man? A relationship advice column? I don't know. Maybe somewhere there is. I mean, I suppose, you know, Dr. Dobson or somebody writes a column. But I really noticed that. I had a friend actually send me something the other day, and I thought that this was very interesting. And what it was an explanation. Here's why men don't write advice columns. And as an example, this woman, Sheila, writes into Walter. Dear Walter, I guess maybe Dear Walter writes an advice column somewhere. Dear Walter, I hope you can help me here. The other day, I set off for work, leaving my husband in the house watching TV as usual. I hadn't driven more than a mile down the road when the engine conked out and the car shuddered to a halt. I walked back home to get my husband's help. When I got home, I couldn't believe my eyes. Now, here I'll have to clean this letter up a little bit. He was in the middle of having an affair with our next door neighbor who's only 22. And Sheila writes that she and Walter have been married for 10 years. When I confronted him, he broke down and admitted that they had been having an affair for the past 6 months. She writes, I told him to stop or I would leave. He was sacked from his job 6 months ago, and he says he has been feeling increasingly depressed and worthless. I love him very much, but ever since I gave him the ultimatum, he has become increasingly distant. He won't go to counseling, and I'm afraid I can't get through to him anymore. Can you please help? Sincerely, Sheila. An advice columnist, Walter, writes back to Sheila. Dear Sheila, a car stalling after being driven a short distance can be caused by a variety of faults with the engine. Start by checking that there is no dirt in the fuel line. If it is clear, check the vacuum pipes and hoses on the intake manifold, and also check all grounding wires. If none of these approaches solve the problem, it could be that the fuel pump itself is faulty, causing low delivery pressure to the injectors. I hope this helps, Walter. I think that is hilarious. Obviously, it is a joke. This is a made-up letter. However, I think it does sort of show in wonderful relief, the differences between men and women and why men do not write advice columns. This is Betsy Hart on It Takes a Parent. In the next segment, we are going to be talking to Matt Lauricchio, author of the second international cookbook for kids. And he's going to give you some ideas for the new year of getting your kids away from all the chicken nuggets, which is what my kids love to eat most of all. But for now, I have just got a couple of what I call parenting outrages. And this is also from the Sun-Times here locally in the Chicago area. And the first one is, dad gets 5 nights in jail for threatening an umpire. Listen to this. Actually, the picture of the guy in the paper looks kind of like a guy I used to date, but it's not. All right. Upset with the calls an umpire made at his daughter's youth league softball game, Michael Beck cursed and threatened the official. It's a daughter's softball game. When a DuPage County Sheriff's deputy arrived at the park near Downers Grove to restore order, Beck spit twice on the officer, authorities said on Tuesday. Beck's unsportsmanlike conduct netted him a 5-day jail sentence, a $500 fine, and an order to attend anger management counseling. The 47-year-old Hanover Park man was sentenced after he pleaded guilty to reduced charges of misdemeanor battery and assault. Good grief. Beck, who authorities said spit sunflower seeds and saliva on the sheriff's deputy, initially was charged with felony aggravated battery, which carries a maximum 7-year prison term. The guy, you know, I'm sure he's a normal dad, supposedly. He has no prior criminal record, but he's going to be spending 5 nights in the DuPage County Jail because of a fight with the umpire for the youth league softball game that his daughter is on. Friends, this is parents, you know, parents behaving badly. I'll tell you, this is just crazy when we get to a point where that kind of stuff goes on and we can't set a better example for our kids. Now, here's another instance, though. This is in a different way. I think this is parents behaving badly. I mean, we'll let the facts sort of sift out a little bit about this one. But do you remember that tragic case recently? It was in the Chicago area where this little sweet girl was being airlifted to a hospital for a transplant. The Air Angels pilot. And there were about 4 people on the plane, her and I think she was being flown to meet the organ that was going to be transplanted. And there were a couple other, you know, emergency medical types. And the whole plane went down and they were all killed. It was just absolutely tragic. Well, so now here's the parents are suing the estate of the dead helicopter pilot. I'm sorry, unless he was stone drunk, I think that is absolutely outrageous. It was obviously a terrible accident. Here was this man. He was a 69-year-old pilot. He was doing this, you know, I'm sure he was paid to do it and hired by the company, but this was obviously a passion of his. I'm guessing they're sort of called at the last minute saying, hey, we've got a pickup, you got to get to a certain place, etc. And now the parents of this little girl, and I understand their grief and all that kind of stuff, but here they are suing his estate and suing the management of the company that was airlifting their little girl very possibly to a life-saving transplant. And if they'd made it, oh, it would have been all great. They would have all been heroes. But now they're alleging that, you know, he was under stress and the company should have known the pilot was under stress because of a family situation and so on. And he didn't maybe make some safety checks. I'm not even sure of all the details. But it just sounds very spurious and like, you know what? There's a lot of lawyers in here who are going to be getting a lot of money. I'm not even so concerned about the parents. My guess is they're just in the middle of grief and somebody came along and said, let me show you how to make millions on this. Only guess what? It's going to be the lawyers who make the millions. This is such an outrage. Good people are trying to do a good thing, and lawyers have gotten involved because they think they see a sympathetic case, and the lawyers are going to be making a lot of money. And there's some people here who I think should be ashamed of themselves. You're listening to It Takes a Parent. Come right back. We are going to be talking with Matthew Locriccio, author of the second international cookbook for kids, about how to get your kids off of the chicken nugget macaroni and cheese menu and get them excited about trying some new foods. You won't want to miss that. Come right back to It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart. Will you join us right after the break?
Start your day with Truth for Life and Alistair Begg. Weekday mornings at 7:30 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
It is awesome. It's very uplifting, encouraging.
Hi, friends. Betsy Hart here with a great suggestion for a special Christmas time activity you can do with your kids. Have you ever wondered about the biblical account of the Magi? Who were these wise men and what was that star they saw in the east which led them to Jesus' home? Is there any evidence that such a natural phenomena may have existed in the sky around the time of Christ's birth or early childhood? Well, the answer is yes. In its Star of Wonder show, the Adler Planetarium in Chicago walks through in one of its spectacular sky shows what was happening in the skies around the time of Christ's birth. It's all from a scientific, secular, and historical perspective. But guess what? The Magi's star in the east actually fits some very unusual events happening in the skies at the time. The show tells you all about it, and it plays through January 4th. Admission includes your visit to the other exhibits in the historic Adler Planetarium. Find out more at adlerplanetarium.org. That's adlerplanetarium.org. Or visit me at Betsy's blog. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's Cookies continues to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf and just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the home-style store-bought cookies.
Hi, this is Terry Cronin from Residential Loan Centers. A couple months ago, I was going through some documentation on my parents' first home that they purchased in 1951. And in 1951, their mortgage rate was 4.25%. Well, you're not going to believe this. Today's interest rate is at 4.625% with an APR of 4.844%. Can you believe that? 4.625% rates from 1951? Call me, Terry Cronin, at 630-207-1524. That's 630-207-1524. So if you're thinking of refinancing or purchasing, now's a great time to do it with rates at 4.625% and the APR at 4.844%. Call me, Terry Cronin, at 630-207-1524. That's 630-207-1524. Or email me at terry@terrycronin.com. RLCA is an Illinois residential mortgage licensee and an equal housing lender.
Are you in the right job? No, not are you doing well or are you making the right money? Are you truly happy in what you're doing? Maybe the larger question is, does your work match your passions? If the answer is no, here's a suggestion. Log on to ChristianJobs.com. It's not much, really. Just the world's largest website for matching Christians with careers they can get excited about. So check it out, ChristianJobs.com, and find a job you really care about. ChristianJobs.com.
AM 1160.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. You're listening to Betsy Hart on AIM 1160 WYLL. And I am now joined by somebody who's going to hopefully answer my question about how to get my kids to move beyond chicken nuggets. Matthew Locricchio, author of the second international cookbook for kids, renowned New York chef. Thanks so much for joining us on It Takes a Parent.
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
Well, and I'm delighted with your book. I love it. It's in a big sort of almost a binder situation where you can lots of big pictures. And I have one daughter who loves to cook. Good. Now, your first book dealt with cuisines for kids. And this is targeted at kids, moms and dads.
Right.
Mexico, France, I think
Italy.
It was
Italy and China.
Okay, sort of the big, you know, the big ones. Now, this cookbook focuses on India, Greece, Brazil, and Thailand.
That's right.
And it's great stuff, but I got to tell you, I'm gonna, you know, hand this book off to my kids, of course. And I love the way it's done in a real sort of attractive, almost like a kid's font. It's great. I'm going to have it up on my website for you folks to look at.
Good, good.
But I got to tell you, my kids are going to look at this and they're going to say, this is great. Can I have some chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese? Help!
No, let me tell you, there's this whole trend, and it's something that we have to really look at and recognize, and that is we've raised an entire generation of kids on the Food Network.
You know? Guilty as charged.
There you go. And it's got this, we have this new thing out there, and it's called eatertainment. You know, it's like the Food Network has drawn kids to it. They're totally fascinated to watch chefs work and to see recipes be prepared. And without knowing it, we've automatically opened up a world of all different kinds of cooking to kids.
Well, and I mean, and that's fine. I mean, my kids, you know, we'll watch those shows, and that's fun. But I still can't seem to get their palates to expand.
Okay, now let me ask you, what about you? Are you an adventurous eater?
I'm fairly adventurous. I don't like spicy, but I'll pretty much try anything. I'll do sushi. I'll do weird stuff. I'm not a master at chopsticks. So we love to watch that stuff, and I'm always turned on by watching these chefs with their amazing recipes and the cooking competition shows, you know?
Sure.
But I got to tell you, Matthew, I really struggle.
Well, you know, part of it is a lot of times when the parent's not necessarily an adventurous eater, the kid kind of goes, well, we're going to have the same thing. We're going to try the same thing. But while this is going on, suddenly cooking classes for kids and teens are taking off in this country. They're, you know, sold out events. Kids want to get in there and find out just how that chef did that. And one of the things I would recommend, now, are you like family mealtime?
Yeah, I mean, we don't do dinner together every night, but I do try to make it a priority. So maybe four nights a week. And you know what? Okay, here's the bottom line. You know what my problem is? I don't really like to eat that much.
Okay.
And I confess this. Now, if I'm busy and if I could just not ever be hungry, I probably would be fine with not eating. I eat because I have to, you know, which is fine, I suppose, from a health perspective. But I feel like I'm just missing a lot of really good stuff. And I know my kids are.
Well, do they eat? Do they like to eat?
Yes. I mean, they like to eat, but they're not ravenous about it. I mean, they're all pretty slim and active, and they're not. You know, they're not sitting down, Mom, what, you know, when's dinner? What are we having tonight? Sometimes it'll be around 5:30 and I'll start thinking, wow, I'm really going to have to feed these four kids. They're 14, 12, 9, and 7. I'm single. And I'm going to have to do something about this thing called dinner.
Well, let me ask
So
you,
what do I do?
Are they involved in shopping?
No.
Okay. That's a key issue.
Okay.
And also, are they involved in picking recipes?
No.
That's another key issue. I think it's really important that parents consider the idea that you sit down with them at some point and say, okay, let's put together this week's menu. Let's talk about what we're going to do. What I stress...
I'm not sure I'm that organized, but maybe I need to get there.
Maybe you are. You talk all the time about overscheduling kids.
And, yep.
You know, kids are hurried. And, you know, it's a great thing. It really enhances family mealtime when kids are involved in planning that menu. They're involved in shopping, and then suddenly you're going to bring them home and say, okay, let's cook together. And once they start to lay their hands into those ingredients and they start to put those recipes together, it becomes theirs.
Okay.
There's this great sense of, I did it myself. There's this great sense of accomplishment.
Ownership of it. Okay.
I see it all the time in my cooking classes.
And you do cooking classes for children?
I do cooking classes for kids. And what I thought I would do is give you an idea of the kinds of things that we do in my cooking classes.
Great.
Things like chicken and red curry with bamboo shoots.
Okay. Wow.
Ginger and peanut soup. Buttery spinach from India. We do lentil soups. We do a great hearts of palm salad.
Okay. And in fact, I'm going to be putting that recipe up on my website for you.
Right. And what my books do is I really have worked very hard to take international recipes and kind of translate them for kids. One thing I don't do is talk down to kids.
Okay.
They don't.
I know.
You know, they're not into like happy face, peanut butter and jelly. And, they're so beyond that. When I do my classes, sometimes the boys are competing with the girls and who's going to do the best recipe. I did a big, I have a class called World of Snacks that I teach. And so one of the things in it is pizza. And one of the other things in it is these French sandwiches, croque monsieurs.
Mm.
And the boys made the French sandwiches and the girls made the pizza. And there was this real competition between the two groups who was going to be better.
Oh, so maybe I can divide my kids up into teams and get them competing for the evening meal.
That is part of the key.
Oh, I like that idea.
I break kids into teams because then the recipe is presented. They deal with problem solving. They deal with math. They deal with all of this stuff that suddenly takes on a great sense of pride because it's theirs. And then part of it comes to, then it's time to bring it to the table and bring everybody around that table. And that, to me, is the greatest reward of all, is when a family's brought together after they've cooked a meal together and sit it down and share it and enjoy it, and they're able to talk about their day. And they're able to talk about the success of what they've just prepared.
Okay, now, I like this idea, because basically what I'm hearing you say is, I don't necessarily have to be responsible for fixing the meals every night.
Don't.
Maybe my kids can start doing it.
No, you don't. Listen, the way I write my books is, the kids are the chef, and the adults are the assistant chef. You're there for guidance. You're there
to make sure they don't blow up or start themselves on fire.
I'm not asking any kids to pick up knives and run around and turn the stove on. You know, and I write recipes for kids sort of 10 and up. But I am saying that the kid is the chef, that they're the ones who get to be the creative player in this game. And they're the ones who get to say, this is what I want to select. And that's what I try to do with my cookbooks, is to give them a variety of good recipes and good ingredients. The things I never talk about when I teach kids is how healthy something is.
Okay.
Because that's like...
Yeah, who cares?
You know, their eyes roll around, and they don't want to hear that.
Okay.
But it's all innate in good, fresh ingredients.
And your recipes are laid out in a way that's... at least it looks to me like they're fairly simple. I haven't tried them yet, but I'm gonna do that, because I think if I could turn some of this over to them, it makes my life easier, and maybe it gives them some more ownership. And maybe we could start eating a little bit better in my house.
Well, you see, there you go. You've already started to answer.
I like this idea.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's a good idea. It's what's going on. And, you know, at the outset, too, you're teaching them basic life skills. And they're picking up part of the responsibility of making the home work.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I'm constantly now asking myself, is this something I absolutely have to do? Am I the only one in my household who can do it? And if the answer is no, I'm starting to turn more stuff over to them.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of doing it with the cooking, too. And I confess, I just really haven't done that. And maybe that's part of the reason they're stuck on chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese.
Exactly. And chicken nuggets, why should fast food restaurants replace the American dining room, for heaven's sakes?
Yeah.
That's where we gather, and that's really, it's so easy to replace that kind of thing, but we have to start thinking, this is a family event. We're going to shop together, we're going to pick our recipes, we're going to know what we want, and, the biggest reason recipes fail when somebody sits down to do it is because they don't read it. So you need to be organized.
You need to pay attention. You need to follow directions. So
you're planning, and when you first start this out, it's going to be kind of rough. You know, when you, you know, be prepared to make a couple of mistakes.
All right. And give it time and have patience and maybe have some fun. Matthew Locricchio, author of the second International Cookbook for Kids, will be putting one of your favorite recipes up on my website, betsysblog.com. Thanks so much for joining us today on It Takes a Parent.
It was my pleasure.
Okay. Well, we hope you'll come back. And to all my listeners, I hope you have a great week. And get the book and start cooking with your kids. And having that evening meal, I'm going to try it. I'll tell you in a few weeks how it's going. Have a great week, everybody. Hi, friends. Betsy Hart here with a great suggestion for a special Christmas time activity you can do with your kids. Have you ever wondered about the biblical account of the Magi? Who were these wise men, and what was that star they saw in the east which led them to Jesus' home? Is there any evidence that such a natural phenomena may have existed in the sky around the time of Christ's birth or early childhood? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, in its Star of Wonder show, the Adler Planetarium in Chicago walks through in one of its spectacular sky shows what was happening in the skies around the time of Christ's birth. It's all from a scientific, secular, and historical perspective. But guess what? The Magi's star in the east actually fits some very unusual events happening in the skies at the time. The show tells you all about it, and it plays through January 4th. Admission includes your visit to the other exhibits in the historic Adler Planetarium. Find out more at adlerplanetarium.org. That's adlerplanetarium.org, or visit me at betsysblog.com. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all-natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's Cookies continues to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the home-style store-bought cookies.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, of the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it. Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host Betsy Hart can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942.